for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. An empowered woman. She is able to speak her truth easily, even with men who choose fear. They lie and they don't use their mind. We want to remember that empowerment is a person who has a healed inner child. That means you use your left and your right mode. Chatter is the left. Right mode is all the emotions that come up. So you're self-aware. You are emotionally accountable and you know how to self-regulate. You don't project any of trauma, charges, or attachment wounds, or anything from your implicit bias, none of it. You don't use your teenager fight, and you don't have a three-year-old that has a broken-hearted shame, or a one-year-old that you don't have awareness of, okay? And if you don't understand any of what I just said, basically, I'm giving you what a person who is attachment trauma informed besides being a mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group, can to let you know, if you say, I don't want to do personal development, I want life now, I'm not going to be myself, I need to change myself. So there's a lot of different ways people actually don't understand the self thing for the updated attachment trauma information, okay? So if you don't believe in sciences, then, you know, go somewhere else. I am pseudoscience lady because I'm not the academic, but I learn from those who are researchers, academics, experts, and I have a master's degree. My field is international relations and diplomacy, so humanities and social sciences. These are opinionated, and I plan on not doing formal. I get passionate. I want to have talks, so an empowered woman. I just did a couple of episodes, but they're too much. I want to share passion, but I want it to also be consistent. And the part about meeting men who choose fear and lie, yeah, it's basically something that I have consistently known since my young adolescent, teenage, and then young adult life. And what I can tell you is that I will not have ever felt like I was wronged in a way of feeling that I would hate humanity or men or women or sexism or marriage or any. No, I don't. In fact, I have love. I'm polyamory. I've grown more loving, which is where we're going to start with that one. Because see, when people underestimate humanity, which they consistently do, I have the ability to say I am tapped into our lovely infinite higher human consciousness potential because I'm an integrated brain. I know how to do that inner growth mindset that we talk about because I was held though with equanimity. I have secure attachment and my healed inner child. It was never broken. That's the point. So my 0-1-year-old, my attached panicky, my 3-7 shame submissive, I'm the grown up in the room because I use my prefrontal cortex. When I'm going through emotions, I know they're coming up. I don't project them. I know that my thoughts are mine. I use them. This is where I've always been. I'm going to be my friend, not my enemy, that's for sure. But I'm going to be an objective friend, not a biased friend. And how do you be objective? Well, I know that you and I have subjective experiences. And so when I have an emotion, mine is a subjective experience. And it will be connected to also physiological responses and behavioral responses. So my charge states, they're not charged because when I was 16, I was organically moving into my equanimity because that's how I was held. Okay, so I am empowered thanks to having been taught how to be equanimous. And it's because of also being able to have unflappability from being a securely attached, differentiated self. Okay, so my thoughts and feelings don't match my hurts. They don't have to. And that's because I do not have a shame button. Okay, so because I don't have that, it means I was not frightened when speaking the truth. It's also why I don't have a filter. No matter how many people will come to me, and they have, trying to tell me that I need to change me and filter my mouth, I will have said, I will not. I will not be filtering my mouth, and I will not be changing me for you. I will continue to speak my thoughts and my emotions. If you do not enjoy them, that is your... Obviously, I respect that. So we don't have to mingle and tingle at all. There's so much room out here. Okay, empowerment means you're not going to reject me because I don't feel rejectable because I don't have shame. Being me means that I can be flawed and imperfect and you don't have to give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm not looking to attach. And when my heart will be broken, thank you, Mother, I learned how it's gonna be okay, Maria. And of course you have emotions. They're all okay. That's what it is to be human. That's as straightforward as it gets, okay? So there's nothing special here. I am a person who, yes, I'm a mystic. I love being a mystic. I also know it's not provable, which is why, unlike 4D, a 5D mystic is not going to be on Elsa's journey. We have not even done any of Elsa. We're no superhero. We're no savior. We're none of that shit. No, we are a person with a whole three-year-old heart. That's the difference. And I will know that I'm just as imperfect and flawed and that you might call me an evil bitch or an evil witch or a whore for all I know. And you might actually not be able to ever tell me the truth in my face, which is where lovely men definitely... they have a deal with not being able to be direct communicators. Okay, so first of all, people who think that human beings don't have the ability to handle our brains, They are the same human beings who don't know how to use their mind. I don't care which subject matter expert they are. They obviously didn't learn about the three pillars of mind and how every person can put it into practice and learn how to be a person that can have that flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable brain and move into your mammalian heritage of restorative embodiment. Now, is it true that people carry trauma and that you cannot delete it, but that you will be able to minimize it? Yes, yes. And that's why we have people like Patrick Deahan, childhood trauma survivor, healed in healing. He's a therapist. What was his biggest regret from his childhood? It made him unkind. I didn't get unkind as an adolescent when my pruning process happened and I looked at my next style of parenting figures, which is also part of every human being, by the way. So you have your first attachment figures and that's your household and then you're going to go with the others. I live my dharma because I don't actually project any karma. I know when emotions come up because whenever somebody will have presented to me your behavior, I will say, okay, let me think about it. I'll talk about it too. So I have the so-called balls to be a direct communicator. And in fact, as a teenager, when my boyfriend cheated on me, when my friends lied to me, when my best friend hid from me the truth, and then we went ahead and did stuff, and I went ahead and said, you know what, I'm going to address this now. Anytime I got Cuscos in my teenage years, I learned that the Cuscos had only one answer, men, women alike. I don't know any days personally, but anybody who doesn't learn how to be a functional adult, they will have the same actual incapacity to choose to use their mind. Okay, so to use your mind, you will need to have a couple of things. Again, that three pillars of the mind. So the capacity to say, let me have attention on me for a minute with meta-awareness. Okay. I do. Oh, do I have to? Yeah, I got feelings. There's our awareness. Oh, now let me bring in intent. But it has to be kind intent. Do you know why? Your kind intent is what activates your ventral vagal. Then that's where your prefrontal cortex. If you don't do kindness, then you're going to be in a pissy mood. Pissy mood means you're fight 16-year-old, which means you're in a charge, which means you're going to taint things with the likes and dislikes. So that's why people don't know how to actually be their whole inner child while they're dealing with their three-year-old and not be on a stress. Oh, let me look in my mirror. Oh, it's me. It's me. I'm being me and I have emotions. Oh, look, my emotions are informing me that this subjective experience where I'm having also physiological response and my behavior that's coming up, I don't really like it. But I'm not going to do projection. I'm not going to do low self-esteem and the karma stuff. No, I'm going to say, you know, yeah, I really don't like this right now. And so I've always said what I don't like to people. To this day, I will tell them if I don't like something or if I do. And then I learned how to handle people who don't know how to accept differences. And that's very beautiful. No, it's very boring. For an emotionally mature, accountable, and self-regulating human being as a teenager, no, it gets boring quickly. So what I began to notice is, you know what, I'm gonna pick to be with people who know how to take what they want, because that way I know that they have confidence. My thought was they had confidence. As I grew up, I learned that that was not true. False. In fact, one of my friends, he taught me why buffoons exist. And he's one of my bestest friends in this world. And it's thanks to him that I learned how never, ever, ever, to ever, 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 ever cut anybody that I love from my life. Meaning give them the silent treatment. So this friend, I gave him the silent treatment. But I told him before it happened that why it was going to happen. So I explained myself. And lo and behold, my friend, in the in-between of this silence, they came to me at a certain point because what I had told them, which was good advice for their future, for themselves, not for me, it was for their benefit. I had nothing to do with it. You know what? Let's share that story, shall we? So I, for one, I'm going to close out the whole people overestimate the ability for humans to handle the brain. No, you can handle your brain. If you want me to use the word smart with you, then I'm going to say, well, then you got a brain. You know how to handle your left and right mode. If you do, that means you know how not to project what you like or dislike. You know, and you get to practice that by doing personal development but with the people. You get to say, oh, look, I'm being in a situation that's creating my nervous system. Oh, I got a challenge going on. I'm going to stay open-hearted. Yay. Okay, so when you have no healed, shit going on. You're having fun with people all the time. And I learned how to have fun, continued being kind, continued being loving, continued to have fun when I got older. And that's why when I meet men who are liars and they choose fear, I know to thank my other friend that I am going to go back to that story, because my teenage boyfriend taught me everything about people who are in a romantic partnership and don't know how to actually share. Okay, so one, as a polyamory person, I have compersion for my partners. They can fuck however many women they want, and they don't have to tell me anything, but, you know, if you're my partner, I'm going to think you know, no, you're going to want to talk to me. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I forgot about that. You're going to desire to share with me your life. Otherwise, obviously, we're not partners. So that's my cue. When you inform me of you not wanting to share with me your life, I'm going to be like, okay, wait a minute. But we are on a, aren't we doing something, you know? So now I'm kind of like confused, but I know already how not to say anything, because the minute that you're an inconsistent human being, you're already playing quote unquote with me. Since I already learned as a teenager what that means, the teenage boyfriend, again, no matter how many times we got to talk about things, it seemed that it didn't really work. Meaning they didn't learn how not to be afraid to tell me that this happened. So the first time they did, the second time they didn't, and all my friends didn't either, and I addressed each and every one of them. And by the third time, I actually had to legit have him. He was there. I still remember the scene. I'm like, dude, stop lying to me. You're fucking lying to me. By the third time, I'm like, just tell me the truth. And then I went to my girlfriend and she confirmed. And, you know, lo and behold, the boyfriend of hers, who's now her husband, he was a bit more like, okay, seriously, we go out on like couple dates. We're out together and you two decided to pull this shit off. And he and I, we went off one night together to even out the score, because that's what he wanted to do. I didn't really care about evening out anything. I didn't need to. But for him, there had to be a basically repair is what I guess one would call it, or where he felt that he had gotten the balancing out of the scale. So for that person, and you know, here's where ego, man, again, to me, I knew because of the stereotypes that he is doing this because that's the way for him. I didn't have a score to even out. I completely didn't give a shit. I learned again that people know how to lie to you. No matter how many times you tell them, just be you, you can tell me the truth. So for me, it was more like, okay, I now am just clear that people have fear and they don't know how to fucking say anything. So if there's one thing that I am at 44 is humored by human beings, men, women, theys. It's not about overestimating your brain. You literally are a three-year-old who keeps lying. Your maladaptive child behavior is not taking ownership because you got what? Some fucking excuse to go to some movie? You're not attachment trauma-informed is what it is, because if you were, then you would know that you are actively just playing out your own having gotten in trouble. So while I have a lot of awareness of just how hard it is for people who were frightened, again, I also know of men that they don't actually, like women, they don't look at their home and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure I'm a childhood trauma survivor. I know I am because of my household. Like if I look at it, I totally was not in a child-centric environment. With all the good information, they would know. As Patrick Tiahan, who is a childhood trauma survivor, healed and healing, says, there's a lot of people, they don't go and do the work. No, they actually want to shame the people who are. So his biggest childhood regret was that it made him unkind. Once he was finally able to become his healthy, authentic self, it's because he reparented and then he started to treat people decently. And really what it is he also got over all of his stuff. So decency in my book equals where you have conversations, and that means you don't lie. If you're already lying, you're not a decent person yet because you're not a grown-up yet. You're obviously going to be a decent person, but what I'm saying is when we talk to each other, I should expand on this. Okay, so an empowered woman, like I said, no inner child wounds, no shame, none of this shit, none of it. It's very important. It's good shit when you're taking care of it. It's bullshit when they're not taking care of it. When I think of important, that word, I don't think about socializing with my friends or about any of what we talk about. I think about, I want to go vote. I want to have better leaders. I want the world to have better, I think of the water, the air, the food. I think of what are people doing. So importance for me means how is the world being handled when it comes to our relationships? But that's because love is easy for me and it's easy for me to be myself. So I'm like, I'm just being me. So I'm building a relationship. This is me building a snowman. And so it's not that it's not important. No, relationships are the most amazing. This is the part, they're a gift. I'm not going to spend time, if you're choosing fear and lying to me, to spend, my life is a gift. You just told me you're afraid and you are making now a relationship, which is easy, seem like it's, I don't even know. So the part about what I got from teenage years was people don't know how to tell you the truth, men, women, all. And then I got to be a young adult and I saw the same. So my buffoon friend, he is one of my friends from when I was a teenager. And because of the fact that I am a mystic with my oversoul, I intuitively know who are people in my life that are going to be a forever and that have already been. And it's really fucking amazing to have this, by the way, but we can't prove it, but we know it, the ones of us who are here. And it's fun. If you're 5D mystic, come on over, because 4D doesn't do justice to any of your oversoul stuff. So long story short, this friend of mine, he is one of the people who I knew when I was growing up. He was an asshole because he was a clown. Him and his friend, always clowns. But, you know, again, all people can be clowns. I thought that he knew how to have balls because of being a clown asshole. His nickname was, you're a fucking asshole. Anytime he would be an asshole, and he knew it. And so, long story short, in order to not bore my regular listeners, he starts dating a girl. They hide it from me. We were going out all together as friends. I found it ridiculous that this thing got hidden from me. And also, it didn't make sense. I'm like, I don't like you. You're my friend. So why would you hide it? Why would you hide it? The friend, I was supporting them after a 14-year breakup. This is why it was unclear. We had been going out where I was supporting them and then going out to have fun. And you hide from me something that happens. And then you tell me 7 days later and you're telling me in a way that I'm now going to be like, wait a minute, this means you both as friends, we're family, you didn't trust that I would have compersion so that I would be happy for you. So this makes me think a couple of things. Either you thought I was interested in you, which that's not true because my friend, male friend, knows I'm not in any way, shape or form romantically interested in him at all. I wasn't even polyamory yet because that word didn't come into my peripheral view, but I had my twin flame. So that was already going on. And he knew all about my mystic stuff and about the expansion, definitely, of love, which is I love more than one person. So like I said, no word just yet had crossed my peripheral view. The part about being an individual who loves and is happy for people all the time, he knew. So he knew me. I've known him since I was a teenager. I'm now in my late 20s. He knows me. And he knows, as my good friend, we had talked many times. He knew whenever he was pissing me off. And this is the part where I saw in a situation, a series of events, his disregard and his consistent facade. So by the time he gets to this other final situation, I'm like, you know what? I'm done with you. Because not only did he not take ownership, when he lied, he said, oh no, she made me do it. And I said, you didn't have a gun to your head, so nobody made you do it. You chose to lie to me, so don't you go blaming her. And then when he kept his facade up, I just said, okay, I'm done. No more. Because I take and took our relationship seriously, you are disrespecting completely the bond we share by bringing to me lies. So in that 5 years that I was not speaking to him, he came to me at one point and said, are you happy now? This was while I was at a funeral. And I'm like, what am I happy about? I am getting cheated on. No, I'm not happy about that. Why are you telling me? Why would you come to me with this information? Because she's your friend. Yeah, she's my friend and you are a couple and you, what do you want from me? I'm sorry that you are going through this. I have nothing to do with it. So the mannerisms right here, what I present to you, that's a maladaptive child. That's a 3-year-old who's pissing their pants with a 16-year-old who doesn't know how to be like, you know what, my friend was trying to support me in a good way. And she, you know, the way that energy works is if you are not taking ownership of your shit, you're going to project it. So he's coming at me with what is an attitude in my book of a clown. You know, the people who are empowered don't consider that anything except for a clown, and I'm attachment and trauma informed, so I actually can share all that is going on, which is where the only reason I would is because you're working with me on personal development, okay? Or you're asking me for some specific guidance. Hey, Maria, can you translate to me this situation? I'll be like, okay, here's what I can interpret for you. But to my friend, I'm not going to correct you. I'm not going to tell you shit. I'm just going to say, I'm not a person who is happy from people's misery. You should know that. You've known me my entire life. So if you're coming at me like this, I don't really know why. That's it. I don't care that you've made some false accusation. I'm going to explain to you where I stand because you brought to me something. And when my friend comes back around to me, it's because he got dumped. He got dumped quite soon to be married, might I add. And he went through a shit show. Everything, it's like when the rug gets swept under your feet. So my friend, I knew as a mystic, this is the part of where a person who is spiritual, remember spirituality, I shared with you all that. We're beyond the solo self, but that's not even what I'm going to say for me, the human being speaking to you all. I know what it means to say I'm your friend. And I'm a person who won't leave. I will not leave you on the floor if I can come pick you up. And you know what's hilarious is when Sadhguru is holding his inner engineering and you got people going to Guru who's explaining to them how to respond. You got a man in the audience, but I didn't have the lady fall on the floor. And he literally three times tried to tell Sadhguru, this is where it's one of my courses that I took with him. And this dude is arguing with Sadhguru about responding on the floor. And I'm like, wow, I get it that you don't know about attachment and trauma because I can share with you what responding is. You're using your prefrontal cortex. You're in a state of compassion. You are in your higher social engagement system. That's you in a restorative embodiment of you. If you're able to put to the side your personality with that implicit bias, cultural, religious, all of that, okay? And they've done studies. They've done studies where they have people who will not pick up. There's less people that will pick up a person from the floor that is from an opposing sports team. Okay, so here's where brain is yours. Explanations are out there. If you want to be a decent human, if you want to call yourself a man or a woman, if you want to use the word empowered in my book, then you're going to know what it means to be a person. Now that you may say, I might feel physically threatened. I totally understand that. But if you see studies actually having people be less kind to people that are of opposing sports team, well, come on, okay? But then again, go watch movies like Mean Girls and Hangover. Let's go watch what kind of example people get. Because they're all getting examples of what is the maladaptive child behavior. They're all teenagers. They're all on Elsa's journey. Someone's a superhero. Someone's a supervillain. And they're rescuing someone. There's this little dynamic of, you know, egos going on. So anyways, back to my friend, I got taught with Jesus and God how to support people. I moved beyond it in a way of, I know sciences and spirituality. And I can lead just with sciences alone, even as a pseudoscience woo-woo. That's why I say woo-woo, because I'm okay with not having, I don't need spirituality to actually help myself to explain to somebody how you could be yourself. I have all the attachment trauma information I need. And we even have that lovely book, Determined, which I haven't read yet, but I read the beginning. But that's Robert M. Sapolsky. What I'm saying is you don't need to have spirituality, although that can support people to make certain choices. But for me, it didn't come from my belief system, meaning when I share with you how my heart will feel and has felt whenever somebody's come to me for help that hasn't quote unquote giving me the same gesture. One time it was like a fraction of 2 seconds. I was like, are you really gonna open this up? You know what they did. And I was like, don't you even dare. Like, this is what consciousness, this is the prefrontal cortex, which is telling you what's the right thing to do. And instinctively, it wasn't instinctive for me to not wanna open. It was my heart reminding me of every time that I went for help, because see, this is another story, and I didn't share it ever completely, but going for actual help and not getting it at all. And so I knew what that was, and I'm not going to hold on to that. That's bullshit. It's not right to not help a person because they will not have helped you. That's the shittiest thing you could ever do. This is how I feel. And it's about being a decent human being because we don't live the movies. So if you want to live your life, if you want to live in your prefrontal cortex, then you're going to live knowing what is the right thing to do when there's no observable physical threat. So that's very easy for a person who is grounded in their humanity. That's why you overflow with humanity. Divinity has to descend. Thank you, Sadhguru. Dark matter, dark energy. As a mystic, the beautiful, infinite law of the cosmos. It's really straightforward for me. And it's beautiful to understand that when you do have determined, you still have free will. So when men choose fear, they know what they're choosing. When they lie to you in your face, they know what they're choosing. My lovely friend, why did I use him? Because he's the same clown that I got to interview when I was asking men about the very specific element of, so you want fuck buddies, but you don't know how to say it. Is that my gathering? Is that what I'm under? As I got older, I did a whole series of interviews to figure this shit out because all of these women who kept coming to me, you know, with stories of the men that they have holding them on a string and them going, you know, and being chaotic, da 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 da. And I'm like, why are you wasting your time? Who cares? You know, you made the choice. You had a good run. Leave it alone. Why are you harassing the poor human being? Don't you notice that they don't want you? No, but they want this other person. So the part about unhealthy self-worth people who consistently leave anyone for another unhealthy self-worth partner because they're unhealthy. And that's where those same women, though, they're definitely not up and the healthy self-worth either because they're whining about some ex who's now in a long-term relationship with somebody else. And that's because they think, oh, but I'm not worthy versus, no, that they're just not your person. They feel. So when you have a whole three-year-old heart, you don't feel unworthy because somebody has moved on and starts dating somebody else. And you will notice if they're dating somebody who's treating them like shit. And you will try to be friends and say, you know, you don't deserve to be treated like shit. And lo and behold, you'll be told, no, I do deserve to be treated like shit. And that's where you got the maladaptive child behavior and a person who is in low self-esteem. They don't know that they're a codependent type, blamer or victim or martyr or superior. And that's their own indirect communication with their own self. Because the minute that you say to somebody who's saying you don't deserve to be treated like that, and you're telling me that you do, I'm not asking you to be on your side. I'm trying to tell you what the decent thing is. And you're trying to tell me, no, I'm going to go justify somebody who's, yeah, you don't need to justify. A relationship is made of two people. And that's because that's how it works. Now, FYI, fun fact. This anthropologist, I was watching the video that is on Well or Big Think, and she shares one of the studies that she did was on rejection. So one, romantic love and sexual desire, and then it's long-term love as well. But rejection, she was saying in this study, she was able to show that romantic love, when you are rejected, is an addiction because it activates the nucleus accumbens, which is the basic brain region that becomes active when you get addicted to cocaine, heroin, alcohol, cigarettes, and gambling. And that we should respect this intense feeling. So when people, you know, have been rejected, they go through a process. And then when people are happy and in love, that's also beautiful. And you want to respect that. And when they're in love in long term. But the part about addiction is I'm going to share false for those of us who own our brain and use our mind. Because cigarettes, I went from smoking one day to the next, didn't miss it. So a human being who is actively participating in their inner dialogue with their emotions in the forefront, what you get to do is consistently get out of your limbic region area when you are in situation, I believe it's called now something different, but the brainstem and something else. So you get out of that area and you're in your prefrontal cortex and you are in a higher social engagement ventral vagal nervous system, meaning you feel safe to be you. So you're not in survival mode and you're using the prefrontal cortex to take in what's happening outside of you. So you're observing. And because there's no physical threat, you're also going to contemplate. So your emotions are not charged and they're not affecting, meaning tainting anything. People who get this addiction are the same ones who are attachment wounded. And that's because that whole highs and lows and the rewarding roller coaster ride, intermittent reinforcement, ups and downs. And so they have not the capacity until they choose to be self-reflective and self-aware and then be equanimous with themselves. That's why the three pillars of the mind, which are attention, awareness, and kind intention, you cannot self-reflect effectively if you do not have, at the very least, neutrality. You don't have to have positive or negative because that's you bullshitting you. But it's with that compassion, though, kindness is important because you can add softening of the heart, which is important for you to be an actual just evaluator with everything, not just yourself. That's why it's important, because love gets you to say, okay, I'm flawed and imperfect. They're flawed and imperfect, but I'm going to be a decent human being. Let me self-reflect. Okay, we'll use decent. I think decent can be an ideal word to use, because whether you have a belief system or not, the part about being a decent person is what Pacha is. Okay, so when we have those who are not deleting their trauma, they can minimize it, but they don't go to therapy. They don't take ownership of themselves. They don't look at what they've done. So for one, the people who get rejected, this addiction thing, you can easily understand it. The teenagers that I got to meet, they didn't. Then I got to get older and they still didn't. I didn't have any issue. I'm not addicted. That's why with my twin flames, there is no addiction phase, not even a little bit. I am a choice point. They're a choice point. And any person, my 0-1-year-old is not trying to attach to you. So all that I do when you're an independent lover, which is what an empowered person is, which is, by the way, a polyamory, solo poly though, that's because while some people, again, think that we don't have the ability to handle our brains, some humans have secure attachment and differentiation of the self. And as we build our community, we're going to share with the world how amazing it is to be able and just use what is called our mammalian heritage. The only reason people are not here yet is they have really crappy examples in all the movies and also out there in the world. So when we build better relationships and show what conscious lovers can do, you know, and a healthy self-worth. And that's because of empowered messages. So you don't need to be shaming, blaming, faulting, or doing any of revenge, envy, jealousy, all of that, spitefulness. Okay. When people have not been able to come to my aid personally, one of the aspects that I know is everybody has a life, which is also why what I was giving you as one of the stories, whereas, like, you know, I didn't get supported. In the meantime, I'm thinking, yes, okay, that's shitty, but you know, people have lives, things happen. There's no reason to hold anything in a scale. And that is the part of when you are a person who uses always a prefrontal cortex and you're not your teenager or your 3-year-old or your 1-year-old. So you have direct communication with you. And I learned how to share my space because I have a twin. So I already have learned my entire life how to be equanimous and how to share. You like it, don't matter. And that's why Determined is important to notice as a book. Again, Robert Sapolsky, because I do understand that some people don't have this. But what I also understand is the decency that I saw teenagers consistently not do, as well as my friend, the one that we were talking about. My friend, when he came back around, it was because he was in the shithole, not small, big shithole. And same thing goes with any of those other stories that I would have to share, which I'm not going to, because the part about what happens when people don't know how to stay open-hearted is that they completely think that their human suffering is greater than others. What I've also noticed, though, is people don't just enjoy their relationships. They actually use each other. So until you're not a 0-1-year-old and your own 3 to 7-year-old, until you're not a reparented and grown-up version of yourself, and then you're just a healthy, self-worth man or woman, that's when you begin to build independently free. And here's why polyamory is totally something people can live with and be, but there's the needing, quote unquote, it's not needing, but there's the journey of, do you choose to move into becoming more and more empowered? And that means loving, and that means kind and compassionate. So beyond your solo self, every time that you will be kind to somebody, and you will think or feel that you will have received an unkindness, whether it's true or not. Okay, so I'm going to equate it this way. And we have a very great Sadhguru quote. Let me see if I can find it. But when you're able to just know that people are going to be busy with their lives, and that when they're stressed and hurt and upset, that everything that they're going through is what's going to take priority, you are not going to be upset at them. That's actually what happens. I mean, they're in their distress, you know. And you're human, I'm a human, so we all can know that somebody might have felt that you didn't tend to their emotional moment, right? Here's Sadhguru's quote: learning to live joyfully with things you do not like is a huge lesson in life. Okay, so things I read, it's so common sense, it's not even funny. The word neutrality is better to use, because like my lovely therapist Sue Martin in my course with Somatopia, as she's explaining the charge states, she says, if you go positive or negative, you're lying to yourself. What I did notice is kind intention is important, because that's going to activate your heart to stay open and your actual ventral vagal to come online. And so you're going to be a better thinker because you're actually using your prefrontal cortex. But you're also going to want to identify the bullshit lies you tell yourself, which is where I personally don't. I don't take my side. I don't go against my side. I'm not my best friend. I'm not my worst enemy. I'm a person who knows how to do inner dialogue. It's the inner growth mindset. So I learn how to put things on a scale. And when I feel it's unfair, I already know that that means it's personal. My 3-year-old's in the mix. My 1-year-old, my 16. No, Maria's here. And it's going to be okay, whatever. Unfair equals I don't like that. That's all this is. So is it something that's physically threatening that I need to be in my emotional upset about? No. Okay, then that's it. And so when this is so straightforward, it's not even funny. You're like, okay, moving forward, who am I going to go build a snowman with today? That's for healthy self-worth human being. Okay. So romance is not created out of thin air. When we have people that we will have shared moments with, we will not have been addicted to what people who have attachment wounds or that are trying to reassure themselves. Okay, so free lover, and that means you're not going to be more happy. No, you're gonna enjoy a person if you've chosen that you want to interact with them, because that means intellectually, emotionally, and physically you're interested. Okay, and so you will be sad, sure, but you will not be addicted. Any person that has basically rejected, even though, see, that word makes me laugh because I wasn't rejected. When a person tells me, you are not the one for me, I know that means I'm not the one for them, not personal. Because you learn how to not take things personally when you're an actual sensitive teenager, which is the only time I learned that word. And I was like, you know what, you're right. And I'm not going to take it personally because it isn't personal. So my teenage boyfriend, when he broke up, I didn't feel like, oh my God, I did something wrong. And people kept on, you didn't hold on to him tightly. I was like, yeah, I was not trying to hold on to him by a leash. He's not my fucking dog. I'm holding on to anyone and it's going to cramp my style. So that's how you move to grow up. And with my friend, what I learned about those 5 years is I was pissed every time we would talk about this friend. And so one, he was with a shithole in his butt. I didn't say no. We talked, we cleared it up, and I learned that the buffoon he is all about fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. So he settled the deal that I had already learned as teenagers, that men who lie are buffoons because their 3-year-old has a shame cycle. And I want to be compassionate, but you know what? I see a lot of men going around thinking that they're badass. And well, as an empowered woman, you're not a badass if you don't know how to talk about your emotions in my face, not behind my back. And if you're making up shit in your brain, well, you are, again, not a badass. You're just a person who is doing shit in your brain called rumination. And it's not going to get any better if you're upset, because if you're ruminating, you're in a biochemistry of fear. So everything that badass is, you're not, because an action movie is an action movie for a reason. And the reality is adrenaline is a pretty sucky Yeah, we don't need that shit. When you know how to be in a restorative embodiment self, yeah, it's called grace, awe, bliss, you name it. You name the emotions that you feel all by yourself. So when you are all by yourself, you're happy and emotionally fulfilled and all of it. Obviously, when you're sharing life with somebody and or more, it's nice, but only if they're an open-hearted three-year-old. So if they're their full self, which means that they don't lie to your face or behind your back. And they don't harbor any of those emotions. They know how to, again, speak about it. And they want to. They can't just know. So when men don't actually think about the fact that the emotions that come up, if you don't notice your heart opening or closing, you're not self-aware. If you do, and every person that I ever asked this question, they do know. So my big, lovely friend over there, my buffoon friend, he shared with me when I was interviewing all these men about them lying and not telling a person you just want to fuck them. And he said, yeah, we don't want to be assholes. I said, what? And he looked at me and said, yes, Maria, I know it's hard for you. We don't want to be seen as assholes. We'd rather be looked. And this is where, as he was speaking these words, as children who are being immature, basically, I'm like, you're kidding me, right? I said, but you all make it seem like us women are wackos and psychos for them, you know. And I'm not even one of the quote-unquote worst, because I will not actually go chaotic on you. I will do one of two things, which I have had the pleasure of being able to bring forth. And that will be the right silence, which is very good. So I've always been lucky. And I will say that that's how I feel. Because whenever I noticed that a man has lied to me in a way that I will know that you are a person that has no balls right now, you have no brain, I will actually be inside of me a completely different person. And I don't want to be near that person when I'm in that state, because I know that I'm going to look at them with a set of eyes, and that's all. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to look at you. But inside of me, what's coming up is going to be something. So when you're self-aware, I know my Kali mode, and I don't want my Kali mode to be seen. So I've been lucky, because every time that I have had the knowingness, it's happening, Maria, you're actively, completely being bullshitted, like beyond a shadow of a doubt, and they have no actual decency to speak to you the truth. So I am so happy that I've learned from afar how much emotions, and today I know, thanks. So see, I have respect for the men that I have thrived and said I love you, because of the respect and the capacity to work through what essentially is personal. And no, you know what? It's not personal, Maria. At the end of the day, everybody gets to choose what they enjoy in life. And I have compassion for the men that I will have said and still love, because that's not a lie. So if you're happy, whether you're dealing with a person who treats you like shit or not, hey, I'm happy for you. I'm looking at you. I'm waving at you. You're going to share with me, or you don't. It's cool. Cool beans. I'm going to stand back, because, you know, this is the other part, though, I have to say. The minute that I will realize that you're a person who doesn't know how to handle yourself, I will love you, because love doesn't change. I will have lost a level of awareness of what you and I will be able to engage in. So in conversation, I will not be engaging with any heart-related matter, because you cannot handle me at all. You didn't know how to handle me the first time around. What makes you think you're going to handle my emotional plane the second time around, especially when you're clowning around, by the way, when I'm trying to have what is a serious conversation? Because see, this is when this happens, is when I'm trying to have a serious conversation and you're going to redirect me and you're going to try and manipulate it, and you're not somebody that I'm going to not let you know what you're doing. No, every time you try to do that, I'm going to say, excuse me. No. And like I said, when the right silence comes, it's because I've been pushed so far that I'm like, okay, you need to shut your mouth right now. And that's when I don't do passive aggressive. I just play along. And, you know, a funny thing happens when you play along and people know, oh shit, something's going on, because this is short. And I'm not really sure, because my nervous system is letting you know that I'm not in a good mood. We're all nervous systems. And, you know, people learn how to recalibrate once that happens. And I learn how to recalibrate. And so, yeah, liars are liars. People who are men who are afraid, they're afraid and not men for empowered women. We won't go and shame you or yell in your face or do any of that. No, we're happy to be able. And again, for me, I got to master my mental, emotional, physical plane thanks to my entire oversoul. I appreciate it. They've made me a better woman. I am, thanks to the attachment and trauma information, people also able to know how it works when attachment wounded men do their thing. So it's beautiful when you have learned from every single person, again, about the right silence, my one friend included, the one that I was talking about, and how men want to apparently be buffoons. And so I will not be calling anyone a buffoon because that's very disrespectful. Plus, it's not true. They're a person who needs a good therapist. And so at that point, it's more of, it's not unfair, it's not personal. It's a child who doesn't recognize that they don't even know badass yet, passion, you name it. They don't know fucking shit about anything related to free love. Now they may be addicted to people that treat them like shit, but you know, that's for them to continue doing, you know, movies, Hangover, Mean Girls. Yeah, keep watching it. What I am happy about, my lovely listeners, is that we got a great group of healthy, self-worth men and women. Right now, we got some of us here, and we got more coming, because as we learn how to emotionally regulate and use our brains, because see, again, I don't think that you don't know how to use your brain if I explain it to you well enough. I also don't think that you will be misguided if I say, okay, if you need child parts work, EMDR and somatics, we will know this, because we will know. And we'll go and take care of it the right way, not the energy way. The right way means good therapy. You can use energy, Reiki, all that other stuff. But we're going to first handle the reparenting. So men who want actual relationships, they learn how to be the best version of themselves, not the liar buffoons of themselves. So they don't cop out for excuses. My friend, as he was telling me, Maria, we want to be buffoons. He's like, you know what? I think I'm doing the same thing to somebody. And I looked at him and I said, well, let me ask you, are you going to do the right thing? And he's like, you know what, I should. Well, he didn't get the balls to do that thing, but he did get the balls to stay with the girl. So I'm happy about that, because she showed him what love is. And in fact, that's exactly how he put it. He said, you know, I realized that what I was looking for in life was a bunch of facades, and this person really cares about me. She really loves me. She's been here for me. You know, at the end of the day, I'm happy that he understood. But what I was trying to get to is he didn't get the balls to say, hey, you know what? Let's not see each other anymore. Because that's when you have balls, when you can actually tell a person, I'm not interested in you. I understand it's hard. I have had men friends come to me and I will say, I'm not interested in you. I'm sorry. If I'm interested, the men that I have been interested in, they will know. And if they were the ones who came to me first, then that's great and dandy. If I get told, you're not my life partner, and I have been told these words, I will understand. And I won't be projecting any kind of, oh, let me, you know, be upset at you for the rest of my life for that or something like that. Like, that just seems so ridiculous. And that's because, though, I'm a healthy, self-worth, empowered woman. So it's not rejection. It's called, we are either going to be compatible because we mentally, emotionally, and physically are appealing to each other. And when it comes to taking that leap of faith, well, you know, it's a leap of faith for a reason. So, yeah, if you don't actually say anything about what you feel, you're not going to get anywhere. But what I have learned is you got a lot of people that are the men that they just play their little moment of, yeah, at 44, it seems there's a lot more attachment wounded men out there. But then again, I don't like to create stereotypes. And plus, because we have attachment trauma information, I'm confident that we have men that are getting themselves in a good spot and reparented, as well as women. And furthermore, we have our community that we get to keep building the 5D relationships with. So on that note, I covered most of what I wanted to share with you all. There are topics that I know I left you hanging, but we'll talk about it better in tomorrow's episode. Because, yeah, I watched this really great video on a lot of different elements when it comes to relationships. Please remember to take note of one you. If your inner child is healed, then you're able to easily be yourself, speak your truth, as well as apologize if somebody gets offended. Doesn't matter if they're projecting. You just say you're sorry. You leave the room. Again, you don't go and speak in somebody's face in a way of being angry. You want to first calm down and then you speak. This is why I've always been happy when I got the opportunity to not be in the presence of the people that I remember clearly being not decent with me. And, you know, on one occasion, I was literally about to do something because, see, I'm not going to leave a relationship that I want to be in a way of fear. So what I mean is I was presented with the potential of having to basically be left out in the cold is what I'm going to say. And I went ahead and in my brain, I said, you're going to do this. Even if it costs you whatever it is that you don't have, you're going to do this. And that's because if you're going to want to have me call you man and you don't want to have balls, well, I'm so sorry, but that's where I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to accept that I will do my best to make sure if you need to go out in a certain way from my life, I'll make sure you go out the right way, not by pretending like nothing happened. So my opportunity didn't arise because some form of balls were born. And yeah, some form, but I had already made my choice. I'm going to go because you know what? If you can't look me in the eyes and tell me the truth, well, I don't think that that's a place for you to be calling yourself a human being, man adult or woman adult. And it's not about yelling. Again, when you are angry, people, nobody is in their brain. You're your dumbed down version of you. Your hippocampus is saturated with cortisol. You're reactive already. I've been yelled at in my face. And lo and behold, I was able to stutter words out of my mouth. The same human being, a beautiful human being. They got shit of their own. And you better bet they still have shit of their own. They didn't know how to have the conversation that I tried to have, but they learned how to do what they do because people who don't want to talk, they learn how to say, I'm sorry indirectly, which, you know, it's something that you get so used to at 44. All I know is people who don't know how to just say what they think, except for when I do, which is why, thank goodness, I have at least one man in my life who I know always speaks their mind. And I love that. My one friend, for example, he still to this day doesn't know how to tell me everything he thinks. And that's though because he's not a person who healed his inner child. Instead, my friend is, he's self-aware, he's healing his inner child, he's working on himself. So as long as you have a person who's honest with their self, then that's why they can be honest with another person. But it's a choice to be a decent human being that way. It's also a choice because you realize, what am I hiding if I hide myself? I mean, really? Okay, so when you meet empowered women, that's where we have awesome conversations. Nobody's being catty. We actually talk about the bullshit cattiness that happens with women. So whenever you meet a decent human being, they're an empowered human being. And even though it sounds the same on the external, it won't to a person who knows how to hear. And you can hear when you're in your higher social engagement system. Okay, so when people are functional adults, that means that you know that you have a personality, subjective experience, and yours doesn't rule the world like mine doesn't. So it's when you're at the end of Elsa's journey, we all have subjective experiences with our emotions. They also have a physiological response and a behavioral response. So we all can have an ego that says, I don't like that, but we know how to hold it. It's a conversation. It's food for thought. These are opinions. Nobody's opinion is more important than anybody else's. When we're having what is an exchange of ideas, if there's important stuff to take care of, we go and vote. We go and do so. This right here is personal development, talking about relationships and how shitty it is when you have to handle people who choose fear. And they don't know how to tell you the truth. They lie to your face, and yet they want to be talked to as if they're actual human being, in this case, men with balls. So I'm happy that I don't have to look at them in the eyes because you don't have balls. You don't have anything, and you don't even have the common decency to go get yourself educated on attachment and trauma to see where you stand with your own self. Now let me think again. What year is it? 2024. What I do notice is how many people try to go around defining other people. I think my twin flame is a narcissist. I think my twin flame is a covert narcissist. I think my soulmate. So you got women doing this shit. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know about the men, but I think they do the same thing. But then again, are they women and men? Well, for some people, they are. The 4D and 3D collective and any maladaptive child behavior that consistently stays in the low self-esteem, indirect communication group, the ones who cancel each other, the passive-aggressive, they don't know how to be friends with everybody. In fact, you'll see them only talking about their interests. So they won't be talking to the different political groups, different religious groups. No. They're going to be like, oh, no, they're evil over there. There's this. So they have their little group. We leave them alone. 5D, we mingle and tingle. We're a big herd. Sid, Manny, Diego, Cusco, Yzma. We got all of it. because we're potshas. That's why we're big herd. So we welcome them too. But some of them, they definitely be like, okay, we need to stay away from those people. They're way too different than us. I'm wondering how it's going to look like in a couple of years from now, my lovely listeners. Although I'm pretty sure, I think I know what it's going to look like. So we will be back with more. Please be kind. Please remember, nobody chooses to have trauma. They can choose to get work with a good therapist, like Patrick Tihan says. And they can choose to be decent with you. So yes, they do have the option to tell you the truth. That is why. You don't have to put up with anything, but please remember, they're not consciously choosing to have manners that are maladaptive. That's the part. Biological rudeness, you get the opportunity to be a loving person, a potsha, and to do the right silence. And we'll be back with more. Have a great one.